Good morning. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program. I want to thank you for tuning into our radio program today that comes to you from the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. It's really good to be with you today. And I'd like to invite you to come and join us at church on Sundays or Wednesdays. Our services start on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship, 6:30 on Sunday evening, and then on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock we have prayer meeting and Bible study. So if you don't have a home church, you need to have one. You need to get plugged into a church. I'd invite you to come out and to join us at the Claysburg Bible Church. We are currently in a study of the book of Revelation, and we are currently in Revelation chapter 19. So if you have a Bible with you, I'll ask you to open there. And while you're getting your Bible opened up, I want to pray, and then we will get right into our study. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word. Thank you that, Father, we have your word. Thank you for your love for us. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, today we're looking at some of that hope. And we're looking and talking about his return to the earth at the end of the tribulation period, whenever he comes back to set up his kingdom. So Lord, I pray that you would use this to encourage our listeners. Lord, if there be somebody tuned in and they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, my prayer would be that today would be the day of salvation for them. So take the message, use it, might it go out in the power of your might, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Today in our study of the book of Revelation, we have finally arrived at the pinnacle of the letter. Today we shall see the earthly return of Jesus Christ at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Last week in our study, we looked at John's response to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We saw that he was so overwhelmed that he fell down to worship the angel who had given him the message. The event which we're about to look at today is one that we should all be looking forward to. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth, the world will never again be the same. Some people proclaim that things are going to get better in our world. And they will certainly get better when Jesus returns. But before he returns, they will continue to get worse until the pinnacle of evil is reached under the control of the Antichrist during the tribulation. But when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom, evil will be destroyed and justice and righteousness and peace will fill the world. What a kingdom that'll be. What a world that will be. The return of Jesus Christ is an event that the Bible points to thousands of times throughout the scriptures. 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament specifically reference the second coming. Jesus referenced his second coming about 20 times, and he exhorted his followers to live in expectancy at about 50 times. He will return suddenly. That's what I want to draw your attention to first. He will return suddenly. And now it's very important to know that the event of the return of Jesus Christ will be a sudden event at the end of the tribulation. And I say this because there are people who believe that this world is slowly going to get better until righteousness will prevail. There are those who believe that the kingdom age will gradually take over this present world. One of these groups is known as Reconstructionists. They believe that over time the church will reconstruct society through the preaching of the gospel. But the Bible does not teach that this is a gradual event. The Bible teaches when Jesus returns, it'll be sudden. Matthew 24:29-31, listen to it. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. I'll come back to that darkness in a moment. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The darkness in verse 29 is likely from the fifth bowl judgment. Revelation 16, 10, 11, listen to this. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So that the darkness that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 24 is most likely from that fifth vial judgment that comes on the face of the earth. But let me get you back to the suddenness. Jesus taught that his return will be so sudden that many will be caught completely off guard. Matthew 24, 36 through 42. Listen to this. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now listen. This is not the rapture as many teach. The people who are taken in this text are taken away in judgment. Listen, let me go back to verse 38 there, Matthew 24. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now listen, who was eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage? That was the unsaved world. Listen to verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who'd the flood take away? Not the righteous. It took away the unrighteous. The eight people that were saved got on the ark. Jesus says, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, it's going to catch the unrighteous completely off guard. Those people of Noah's day, they weren't prepared for the flood, and the flood took every one of them away. They were the unsaved who died, and they went to hell. Therefore, the event recorded in Revelation 19 is one that will come upon the world suddenly. Many people of the tribulation will be truly shocked when the skies break open and Jesus Christ appears. Those that are earth dwellers, those that are all about saving the earth and saving the planet and explaining away the judgments of the book of the tribulation period that we read in the book of Revelation, those people are going to be caught completely off guard. That will be the majority of the world. This event, the return of Christ, by the way, is the event which Satan has been doing his best to stop. The return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom is the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. And Satan will do all he can to stop this event from happening, hoping, okay, he's going to do everything he can to destroy Israel so that Jesus will not return, and then he will inherit the earth and rule over the world. You see, the return of Christ, the earthly return of Christ, was promised to the nation of Israel, not to you and I as the church. The church is promised to return in the air, the rapture. That's our promise. The promise of the earthly return and the promise of the kingdom, that's all made to the nation of Israel. So here's the thing. Satan is focused on destroying the nation of Israel and will be so in the tribulation period. Just we came through Revelation chapter 12 when we see of that battle, and whenever Michael stands up to defend the nation of Israel and Satan's cast to the earth and he turns upon the people of Israel in the tribulation period. He hates them, and he wants to destroy Israel because he thinks if he destroys Israel, Jesus won't come back. And I will say this, that the return of Jesus Christ to the earth is going to be hated by many people that live on the earth. John recorded a summation of the event in Revelation 1:7. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Let us get to our text today. I'll call it the coming of the king. And we're going to look, first of all, at the king's nature. Watch 19:11. "And I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Listen to this. This is the second time heaven is opened. The first time was in chapter 4, and that was to allow us to be able to see in. Revelation 4:1, here's what it says. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So that was the first opening of heaven. It left us see in. Here in Revelation 19, heaven is opened again to allow Jesus and his armies to come out. Jesus comes out of heaven riding a white horse. That should take our mind back to Revelation 6, where we saw another rider on a white horse back there, Revelation 6:1-2. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals and heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." That's not the same event as what's going on here in Revelation 19. That's not the same rider. This is the Antichrist in Revelation 6. And it should not surprise us that he too is on a white horse. You say, why? Because he's a counterfeiter. Satan is a counterfeiter, and he's going to do everything he can to counterfeit Jesus Christ, to deceive the people on the earth, ultimately. There are 3 points in this verse pertaining to the nature of Christ. Number one, he is faithful and true. The verse says, "And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." What's that mean? It means the words of Jesus will all be fulfilled. He is God, and God is faithful to his word. Matthew 5:17-18 say this, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Psalm 119:90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Lamentations 3:22-23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." He is faithful. The one sitting on the horse was called Faithful and True because he is God. And his word is faithful and true. And it is going to be carried out, just as he said. Second thing that we see about him is he is righteous. Watch the verse again. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge." It will be in righteousness that he will judge and make war. Most of the wars that have been fought over foolish objectives. But when Jesus returns and engages in a campaign of Armageddon, he will bring judgment and war out of righteousness. Jesus will fight for the glory of God. He will destroy the Antichrist as well as all who are not saved when he returns. He will finish what the judgments of the tribulation started. Armageddon will be the final mop-up of the earth before the establishment of the kingdom. Now there will be another judgment that will happen apart from Armageddon. We read of that in Matthew 25. I'll just give you part of it. 31 through 34, and then 41, then 46. Listen to this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the one from the others. The shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the shepherd say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then say he also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So he will judge the world in the battle of Armageddon. Many millions will die. But then those that are left will stand before his throne at the entrance of the kingdom. Those that are unsaved will be taken away in judgment. Those that are saved will enter the kingdom. Brings me to point B, the king's appearance. Watch Revelation 19, 12 and 13. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Let me break this apart if I could. First of all, his eyes were as the flame of fire. This speaks of Jesus' ability to discern what is in the hearts of men. What is in the hearts of men. The ability to know that. Romans 2, 2 through 4, 6 through 9, and then verse 16. Listen to this. Paul writes, But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Listen to verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Nothing will be hidden from him. Nothing. Let me go back to that judgment of the nations in Matthew 25. Can you imagine surviving the tribulation and yet not being saved? And then being summoned to stand before the throne and hearing the words, Depart from me, for I never knew you. Away they go into everlasting fire. Because they had no relationship. They didn't believe the two witnesses. They didn't believe the 144,000. They didn't believe the angels that delivered the gospel. They didn't believe any of that. None of it. They rejected it. And because they rejected it, they are now sentenced to an eternal damnation. They are judged by a judge that sees right straight through them, that knows even the secrets of their hearts. His eyes were as the flame of fire. Number two, he wears many crowns. He wears many crowns. It says in verse 12, his eyes were as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He no longer wears the crown of thorns. He will be crowned with glory and honor. The multiple crowns speak of many facets of the character of his rule. He will wear many crowns because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The world today is made up of many kingdoms, but when Christ returns, the world will be one King under one kingdom rule, and it will be under his rule. All the previous kingdoms will come under his reign, therefore he wears many crowns because he will conquer all. He will conquer all. Number three, his robe is dipped in blood. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. This is the blood of his enemies. And speaks of the judgment to come during the campaign of Armageddon. see the king's names. We see that our Lord has three names in this text. He has a name of mystery. Watch verse 12. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. A name that no man knew but he himself. Agur, one of the writers of Proverbs, made mention of this also. Proverbs 32 through 4 says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up to heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" Listen to the words of another writer, and I quote, "To this we could add the words of Jesus, 'No one knows the Son except the Father.' We believe the mysterious name of Jesus is a secret shared between only he and the Father, and is intended to indicate their personal unity. God only shares his secrets with those who have intimacy with him. The secret name of Jesus will not be revealed until he and the Father choose to do so, possibly at his second coming. Whatever the name is, it will undoubtedly reveal some splendor concerning his character, like many other names." Unquote. There is so much that we do not even know about God. It will take all eternity to learn of the depths of our Lord. After we have been there for 10,000 years, there will still be more to learn. Let me get back to his names. He has a name of ministry. Watch verse 13. "He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." The Word of God, because he is the expression of God's nature in understandable terms. In understandable terms. He came into this world to reveal to sinful man the true God, the loving God. Third thing, he has a name of majesty. Watch 19:16. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's a name of majesty. Now let me get you to the king's armies. Watch verse 14. "And his armies which were in heaven," see that plural, "armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." There are two armies that are with our Lord whenever he returns. First of all, there will be angels. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 says this, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So he will be accompanied by angels, an army of angels, but there is another army, and that's the church. Listen to Jude 1:14-15. "And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." We will be with him whenever he returns. We have to be, because we will have been raptured up before, and the marriage has already taken place, because it says that in verse 7 that his wife hath made herself ready. So the marriage is over. We will be with him. This will be the manifestation of the bride of Christ. Romans 8:19 says this, "For the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." The earth cannot wait for the manifestation of the bride of Christ, because when we come back with him and the kingdom is established, the earth will be lifted, or the curse will be lifted from the earth. Gets me to the king's armament. Watch verse 15. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He will be armed only with the word of God, and it will be with his word that he will destroy the armies of the world in a campaign of Armageddon. Conclusion, Isaiah 11:4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Those who are alive and unsaved at the end of the tribulation will not stand a chance. They will be slain by the word of God. God is so powerful that all he will need to do is speak a word and they will be slain. Jesus came the first time as a lamb. When he returns, he will come as a lion of the tribe of Judah, and he will judge. And he will damn those who have rejected him. In the days before the return of Christ, people will die of fear and I believe they will die of fear when the sky breaks open and they see him. Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear. Men's hearts failing him for fear. To the unsaved, this will be a terrifying sight, but to the believers, it will be a great time of rejoicing as they welcome him and we watch the establishment of the kingdom. Listen, if you are not saved, you need to be. You don't want to meet Christ as the lion of the tribe of Judah at the end of the tribulation. You don't want to die in your sins. You don't want to do that. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm out of time today. Again, I would like to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. It is a pleasure for us to be able to share with you the truth of God's Word. If you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to Claysburg Bible Church. Whenever you do, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. The address is Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we see you in church, or we meet you around the radio again next week, might you have a blessed week.